Good morning.
Good morning.
The practice of bowing is, I think, a very profound practice, and had nothing whatsoever to do with my talk, except that when I was sitting this morning and people were coming into the Zendo and bowing, I noticed that there were all different kinds of bows. So I just wanted to comment briefly on bowing. There's not any particular, I don't think there's any particular right or wrong way to bow, but I think that when we bow, you know, you just want to fully bow. You just want to be with the bow. I think it's nice when you, usually when I come in to the Zendo and I open up in the front, and I come in and I'll do a bow at the very front door, and then before the threshold here, do another bow. And just, you know, like, be with that bow. It's not like you have to rush that bow or you have to get anywhere in particular. You're not bowing like, oh, I got to get past this bow so I can get to my seat, or I got to get past this bow so I can do something. It's like, be with the bow. And then the way I've been taught is when you come into your cushion and you get ready to bow, you kind of straighten out, you do your bow, you face the cushion, and then you do your bow, and then you turn around and you face the other people or person sitting across from you, and you do your bow, and then that person will do a bow back. The ceremony, I think, of doing those bows and all the series of bows and like fully being into your bow is a really great way. I mean, it's like part, it's as much of the practice of the meditation, you know, as the sitting aspect of it, and should be as fully into the bowing and the experience of the bowing, you know, as we try to get into the experience of the sitting. And I think it's particularly sweet when you do your bow and then the person who's sitting across from you also turns that bow. It's sort of a connection which I think comes from the heart, it comes from the hara, the chi of the expression of the connection and of our own connectedness. Being together and sitting together and experiencing this moment together. So this whole digression had nothing to do whatsoever with my talk. But I hope it was helpful. Yeah, so I think ultimately, like, teaching is about compassion. If you decide to become a teacher, I think it's ultimately a compassionate act. So I encourage everyone, if you've been practicing for a while, to actually think about giving a talk, you know, and sharing, because it forces you to sort of tie into and cultivate that compassion which is inside of you. You know, silent sitting is a wonderful thing, and I know we've been talking about words and the inadequacy of words as a means of conveying reality, that there's only so much that words can convey. But actually, you know, it's not so much the words, I think, but as the act of sharing, the act of trying to convey and realizing fully the inadequacy of the means is like the highest compassion. It's not so much that the words themselves are important. It's not that the words are unimportant. I mean, the words are very important in terms of right thinking and right words, because, I mean, speech, you say the wrong thing, you can really piss people off. And sometimes it's okay to piss people off. I'm not saying that it's not generating those things, but sort of like this morning when I decided to ride my bike here, which was a really good decision because I ran into two people. I ran into, not with my bike, I mean, I was driving, they stopped. One was Leo, who'd been away for like 10 days in a retreat, and he happened to see me, so he stopped his car, and I'm like, why is this guy stopping his car, you know? Did I do something wrong? Is he going to, like, hit me? But he steps out and goes, Jeff. And I'm like, Leo. And he's like, yeah, I just got back from this retreat. I was at the Zen Center this morning, you know, 4 a.m. And he was like really, really, you know, he was really, really happy. And then I also, to my great shock, surprise, and joy, ran into Jody. Jody used to sit with us, and she recently had a baby. I was really, really happy to see her because we were wondering, those who know her, because she didn't send out any announcements as far as I know, although she did tell me that she may have mentioned it to Anne. I don't know. I don't recall any announcements from her. The baby was with her, and she's like, yeah, you have the baby in the car. You want to see the baby? So I'm like, yeah, I definitely want to see the baby. Then I said, man, you are... I said, Jody, you are really the worst. And he's like, well, what, you know, I mentioned she's the worst because she didn't tell anybody. And like, we were all worried about what happened with her. He said, well, I have an excuse. I said, well, what's your excuse? She said, motherhood. So I'm like, okay. But, I mean, maybe I thought afterwards, like, calling her the worst wasn't the best thing. You know. But, okay, at the time, you know, I kind of felt like that myself and George were really concerned about what was going on. And so I was really happy to see that here was this healthy baby and she looked great and everything like that. But words, you got to be careful. It's not, you know, it's not just about saying anything, but it's, I think the act of the sharing of the words is the high form of compassion. And it's the sharing of that compassion, but not only the sharing of the compassion, but the generation of compassion, which is, I think, a very, very important aspect of the practice for me. So I encourage anybody, you know, who's been practicing for some time, or even if you haven't, if you want to share something, not necessarily to be afraid of the talk, because at the very worst, it will help generate your own compassion. It's not easy to speak, but the fact that you're trying to do something and say something and share something that you think is important to you, I think has a very, very powerful rippling effect. The actual topic of my talk today was, is there ever a time that a nightingale doesn't sing? Okay. One of the things that was interesting in the chapter that Bill has directed us to this week is a short little statement about reminder words. It talks a little bit about, there's a little sentence where it talks a little bit about reminder words. So there's two things really. One is, there's a great little story about a monk. His actual name I think it was Ekko, E-K-K-O was the Japanese name. So his practice was to say, Ekko! Ekko, where are you? And say to himself. And then he would answer, I'm here. Here I am. So that was his reminder words, like to constantly bring himself back to the present moment. Ekko! You know, where are you? Banke, another Japanese teacher, has a beautiful poem that I go back to. It's actually, it's not really my screensaver. My screensaver is a photograph that my son Andrew took when he was traveling through Ireland with the coast and the sea and everything like that. That's my screensaver. But when I go to my internet browser, first thing that pops up is this calendar date, January 1st, and the poem of Banke, which goes something like this. It says, what does it matter, the new year, the old year? I stretch out my legs and all alone have a quiet sleep. Don't tell me the monks aren't getting their instruction. Here and there a nightingale sings the highest Zen. Thank you.